an AppleViz original.
Don't get me wrong, but if I can get rid of that stupid Face ID,
that's a good point. I've never had an issue with mine.
I will change. Well, take my face and your face. It probably is a big difference there.
Maybe I was wondering, like, do you like sit up from your bed and your like side of your face is still kind of flat from laying on your pillow?
I don't know. My face is flat like, anyway.
All these listeners are for 3 years now just slowly watching all of us decline, and we'll just slowly get older, and like we're all going to start learning Braille because we can't hear and we fall down all the time, like you were saying earlier.
And people with flat faces, and
Randy couldn't be with us because he broke his hips, and Thomas is now talking to a banana instead of his.
The next 3 years are going to get interesting, people.
Instead of the microphone,
yeah, so let's just all decline and.
I remember watching him talking, are you still recording? I was like, yes, get out of here.
I suppose I could cut down.
Or just title it. You should just title it like, we recommend triple speed for this one, and just leave it as is.
You should call it Thank God for Chapters or something.
Yeah. I love that, Mike. It's best heard in triple speed.
Yeah.
It sounds faster. We get through things faster.
Yeah.
No more chapters. You're literally into the next chapters.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for giving this podcast a listen. Welcome to AppleViz Unleashed for January 2021. We're in a new year. This is our third year in AppleViz Unleashed coming out to reach you. If you're a first timer, thank you for coming on and listening to our podcast. If you're a repeat listener, thank you again for, well, continuing to deal with us and listen to us. I appreciate that. We all do here. And as always, with my co-host, I have Mike Malarcy. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Other than struggling with Zoom, we were just talking about this before we started too. And I don't even know what I hit on accident. I just got a drink and put my hands up on my keyboard and pushed a button. And but I'm here. I'm glad to be here. It's good to be doing this.
Push a button and there you were.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my life.
Are you still loving your 5G?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's great. I haven't had a single problem.
I hear you. And of course, I don't want to leave out Mr. Randy Rusnak.
No, we good can't have you. Leave me out. And notice I'm prompt. I'm on the air and I'm just coming back at you just perfectly. How are you all? Now, for the first timers out there, I want to know if you, the first time listening to this podcast, if you are, take a little walk up to your speaker and give a little scratch. That's. See if you're the first time listener of this podcast. We'll give you time. There's one, Tom. Did you hear that?
I did hear a scratch.
Yeah.
Boy, that's my dog at the door.
Did she scratch on the door?
Yeah. He wants in.
One of ours can just jump up and open the door. It's obnoxious.
Oh, see? You have an opener. I have a scratcher. So there you go.
I don't love it. Well, but cats all scratch, but that dog will just kick the door open.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's kind of funny because when I had a golden retriever, you know, he's a bigger guy. So he's like 50-ish pound back then. And he's just like pushing the way through. So if it doesn't open, he just puts his weight on it. It's like, argh.
Yeah, I have a golden as well. And that's what she does. She just.
Okay, you won't open it. I will just bust your door down.
Yep.
Yeah. Our biggest dog is our gentlest one. It's kind of weird.
They are. Well, generally, in my experience as well, my bigger dog has been the nicer and calmer, where my little one seems to be more, he's hyped up on crack or something because he's just like.
Yeah, we have like a 40-pound husky. That's one that always just kicks the door open and runs through. And then a 140-pound Irish wolfhound that'll just go like tap the blinds and just sit down. Until somebody opens it.
They have jars of pills to calm dogs down now, which is interesting. It's made by, you know, the certain plants that we shouldn't be talking about on the air. But
depends on where the listeners are listening, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of states that it's legal now.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of states.
It is.
So, and I've heard that. I've heard that some owners are actually giving the dog CBD oil so that way they can relax. Right. And that's kind of a common thing for fireworks and things like that. If they get scared,
it's appropriate to say that I have ground up some in my coffee grinder and.
That's not CBD, my friend.
Oh, wow. Well.
Back to wow. Right? Your coffee comes with a punch. I see.
It does, yeah.
I only need one cup, but I'm good all day.
Oh, Lord. Well, Randy, tell me about your iPhone. Well, I'm sorry, the Apple Watch 6 series. How's that coming along?
I love it. I use it every day. I use it much more than I use my Series 3. I like that too, but this just does so much more. It has
it's
a better
faster, feature. Isn't it? It's like, whoa!
It's like lightning. And it's. Yes. Here's the thing that really got me going yesterday. I updated the watch. I went to, because I wasn't awake yet. So I have this little, it looks like a square on the bottom, and then there's a vertical square with the next level up where you store your little hockey puck charger. You just place it in there. Mm-hmm. And then the watch just, the band just fits over it. It's a little plastic dock for it. And I love that.
That's and awesome.
So, yeah. And so I plugged it. Do you have one of those?
My wife does. She has like a little cup where you just kind of put your band around it and it charges it.
Yeah, I love it. It's just nice.
It is.
Then I don't have it laying around. And so, I thought, I'm going to update the watch and I go back to sleep. So it dong, you know, update. Boom. And it just like updated in seconds, not like half an hour.
Yes. It's so, I can't explain. If you are a Series 3 and older, think of this. I was from Series 1. I went to the Series 5. I thought, oh my gosh, when I say day and night difference, I'm not talking just like half a second better. I'm talking minutes better.
And you know how I joke about the walkie-talkie app? Well, it works now. It works in my Series 6.
It's so zippy. And I don't think Mike knows about this. Now, wait until I tell Mike this. But I was, you know, I fall to the floor a lot when I hear stories. You know, I just like fall to the floor. But I fell to the floor again because.
Oh, yes.
This guy I knew. They told me one time, you know, it's ridiculous how much they charge for these AirPods Max, and I will never spend that ever. And it's kind of funny because we hear this a lot, don't we, Mike?
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's, you know, hypothetically, it was this guy. And anyway, not the same person, maybe not the same, or maybe it is. Tell us, Randy, what's been going on in your world? Did you order something new?
No.
No?
They're pretty nice, though, right?
I heard from a grapevine somebody ordered an AirPods Max for themselves.
The only reason I did was because of your beautiful audio coming back to me over the phone. I just couldn't believe it.
I see. So it's my fault.
Yeah, we tweeted back and forth about this. It was your fault all the time, and he made
I told him, go ahead. Just tell his wife it's my fault. It's fine. I mean, I get it. I didn't have a scapegoat, so I wish I had one.
Well, I'm certain there are people that listen to this cast would probably be your scapegoat of choice, I'm sure. But seriously, I can't wait to get them. They're supposed to be here on between the 15th and 17th.
Awesome. I've heard they may ship a little bit early. Next podcast around, I think we would all want to hear two side of the stories here, what you think. You're more of an audiophile kind of a guy, more so than I think.
I just can't wait for him. One thing that I don't know is I think I know the answer to this already, but can you use them on a Windows PC? I don't mean with the cord, but can you Bluetooth into them? I bet you can't.
You can. You can. It's kind of a.
Should we do this some more?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can use it as a Bluetooth. It has some issues, as in not so much of a connectivity issue, but trying to get connected back to your iPhone device. So you have to disconnect it from your computer each and every time, I believe. I have to double check that, but I've heard some issues with that.
I hope they fix them.
I hope they fix it too. There are some things about it, but because this is the third year of the Applebiz Unleashed, folks, I am going to reveal some new things you can expect out of this Unleashed going forward. Two things. First, I have had so many people ask, chapters, please have chapters, chapters. And for the longest time, it isn't easy, folks. If you had a Mac, it's a no-brainer. But if you have a PC like I am, there's no way of doing it easily.
Well, I see how this is going to go.
Well,
so all the chapters with me in them, you're going to cut out.
We're going to make just one long chapter, and that's called the Unleashed Podcast.
Chapter 2, Thomas Domville. Chapter 3, Mike Malarcy. There is no chapter 4.
So we are introducing chapters. So if you are using a podcast aggregator that supports chapters, that means you can skip through the different variety of segments and a podcast, so you should be able to see a table of content of this show and be able to pick whatever part you want to hear and skip. So that way it makes it easier for everybody. I have a lot of requests, so we are now introducing chapters. Number two, I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I thought I'd give this a spin. We now have our own Applebiz Unleashed voicemail line. Yes. You can now not only email us at unleashed@applebiz.com, you can now call us, folks, at 816-774-1668. Leave your voicemail. Let us know any suggestions, feedback, thoughts, advice, tips, or anything you would like. Use your name, first name, and maybe the letter of your second name if you'd like us to use you on our future cast. I might introduce some of those to our cast for you to hear. So
it would really be good to hear some of your voices, too.
Exactly. And, you know, they may have some negative feedback. That's good, right?
Yeah, I'll just we'll always put your negative feedback in there.
We'll play those first so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And make a lot of jokes and stuff, and then we'll play the good ones.
Yeah. And definitely leave your name. That way we have your name, you know.
Uh-huh. So you guys have too much fun on your podcast. Don't play the funny stuff.
Yeah. Just say I'm Thomas D. from Kansas City. You know, that way we know who you are. I don't want to use anybody's last name, so yeah, just keep that in mind. So we now.
Or you could spell. Or you could say your name backwards, your last name backwards. You know, let's see what happens.
Oh, that would already mess me up thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. I just got confused for a second.
Now, Mike, guess what, buddy? You know how last year we were talking about we were trying to put bets down, like it will Apple make past a $2 trillion mark by the end of 2021.
Hmm.
Well, my friend, I found out something new. I found that Apple did exceed $2 trillion back in August, and it's now valued at $2.3 trillion. I'm sorry, guys. It's just, think about it. $2.3 trillion.
Oh, I can't even think beyond 1,000. Come on.
So I had to think about this for a while, and I even calculated. I was curious, what does that number really mean? You know, they were talking about the Apple might make $2 to $3 trillion by the end of next year, 2022. And if it's at $3 trillion, and we were to say we'll take every man, woman, and child in the United States, the population in the United States is about 320 million. I believe that comes out to being $7,000 to $8,000 per citizen. That is equivalent to $3 trillion. Or if you want it to be mind-boggling, that is, I believe, $29 million a day to you if you were, say, I won a $3 trillion lottery.
Man.
A payout would be $29 million a day.
That's insane.
Isn't that not insane? I was like, holy craps. So, Mike, they made the two. Past the $2 trillion, the number to look for if you're an Apple share guy, if you like to look, the magic number is $200 a share, and that makes it $3 trillion. Right now, it's hovering around $140. They're saying $3 trillion by 2022. I don't know. It's mind blowing that they made it this far. I don't know if they can continue to do it. I mean, I can't. I don't know.
Yeah, just, stocks are weird too, because I don't know if you guys have you seen what's happening with the GameStop stock right now.
Yeah, like, that's not crazy.
Yeah, like you're like, all signs point to this business is going to be gone very, very soon, and people are just like, actually, no, we're going to freaking break your whole system, and that's kind of what they've done. So, I mean, not that that's going to happen with Apple, but
it was easy for me to say $2 trillion. Yes, $3 trillion. I don't know.
I mean, it's why really, not though?
You got to plateau at some point. I know you can keep growing, but I mean, Apple would have to come out with a lot of new stuff. I don't know. This is where I'm going to say with you, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the crazy part to me is that they're slowly but surely approaching the same, like their value is approaching the national debt in the U.S. And that's kind of mind-boggling. Maybe they'll catch up one day.
It is
with the offer for the iPhones next year, I bet you they'll be going up because a lot of neat stuff supposedly in the works.
Well, in order for us to make $3 trillion, we have decided to double the price of the iPhone from $2,000.
Yeah. People would probably still pay it though. Not as many, but there would be plenty of people that would be like, fine. $2,000, I guess.
Look at all those people
buying.
I need
a terabyte of storage for some stupid reason.
And I heard about that. They're going to have a terabyte of storage?
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
Can you imagine the price for that? I mean, think about it. Well, there are people buying AirPods Max, Mike. I mean, my God, that's how expensive that is.
Oh, my gosh.
These people.
Now, as always, every January, Apple always shares some highlights of the previous year. So they didn't fail us. So some of the things, some tidbits to know, and I thought this was interesting. The most downloaded apps for 2020, guys, was Zoom, which is not, that, I mean, we kind of knew that was not a surprise, right?
Yeah,
I was gonna say only in the sense that it's kind of crappy, but everybody uses it, so no, it's not surprising.
Now, but what was surprising to me was Disney Plus was number two.
Really?
I was like, really? I guess because it's a new subscription, I suppose people download. But yeah, that was number two, and I was kind of surprised. And then follow the top two games. Of course, neither of this. Well. I don't think they're accessible, but for the iOS, we all are aware of the Among Us. The other one is Roblox. You guys heard Roblox?
Oh, yeah. My kids love that game.
Yeah. My son, I think he started with Roblox, and he went to the Wizards 101, and then he went to Minecraft. So it seems to be like those top three tiers of kids liking the game. Not just for kids. I know a lot of 20-something love those things too. So,
For sure. And when my son comes up to me, he's like, "Hey, Dad, do you know Jason Voorhees?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "Well, he's in Roblox. Like, he knows all these. I don't understand that game at all. I have no clue what actually is happening." And I probably should, because he knows who Jason Voorhees is, the girl from The Ring. Apparently, there's like a maze, and they take all these movie monsters and put them in this maze or something. I don't know.
Really. That's interesting.
He has more horror movie knowledge than most like adults in my life because of that game.
Wow. And not to be surprised, Apple reported record-breaking profit between Christmas Day to New Year's Eve and a record-breaking day of New Year's Day. Kind of give you a comparison. Last year in App Store alone, they made $64 billion in App Stores alone compared to $50 billion the year before. So, gosh, that's what, 20% increase. So I was kind of shocked, but then again, maybe COVID is one that kind of accelerated that pump. So I'm thinking that's why I was kind of hesitant about the $3 trillion. It's like some of these numbers are staggering. We'll get to the first quarter fiscal report as well. The numbers are staggering, but can it be maintained? I don't know, but they were reported that to it. Now, Apple Pay, this was interesting, guys. We are now up to where more than 90% of the business or spaces that accept payment will now allow Apple Pay. So 90%. But in the UK, it's 85%. And then I was kind of shocked. Australia is 99%. And I remember for the longest time, the banks there were so resistant to Apple Pay, and look what happened. It's just so kind of comical that they pushed so hard against it, and then they just kind of gave up and look at that. They got 99%.
Like, fine, we'll do it.
Yeah, we might as well do it now. But that was interesting information. And another interesting information that came out of this a little bit after this is that the executives of the Apple company is now have restructured the bonus. So the bonus structure now, it comes in respect to accessibility and some of their common cores. And I was like, what? What does that mean? And so the bonus is going to be tied to those cores. And so the cores are accessibility, education, environment, inclusion, diversity, privacy and security, and supplier responsibility. So in other words, those cores are now based on how much bonus these executives will get at Apple. Huh. What do you guys think of that?
I'm curious how they like rate and decide. How do you grade those things, I suppose? Like if I was the one that had the big pile of money that was handing out bonuses, what is my system for determining
whether... Yeah, how do you grade inclusion?
Is it just like a pass and fail thing? Is it percentages? I love the idea, but I'm very curious on how they're going to implement this kind of a thing.
You know, we all are. And I know a lot of people have chimed in on AppleViz on that particular post. I'm with you guys. I mean, obviously, they're doing a great job in making sure everything is accessible, like the HomePod Mini that came out was accessible, iPhones are accessible, everything they come out is baked in accessibility. But, you know, what is not only what are they great on? That's exactly what I'm thinking, probably just to their products only. It would be interesting. I would love to see. Well, I like to see it as an average, like including the apps and everything. You are failing in this area and you need to do a bigger priority into this area. I don't care what you do. If you need to educate the developers more or if you need to make it mandatory or something, I would like to see that. But, you know as well as I do that ain't going to happen. So
yeah, I always wonder with that too. Like, is it Apple's job to force everybody to
no.
do that in the first place?
No, technically no. Could we say, you know, it's interesting. You know, when NFB won a suit, or a gentleman won the suit against Domino's because it wasn't accessible and it was a website. I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one.
I do like the idea, though, because instead of them just handing each other bonuses, like how the Golden Globes work, like, hey, we're all rich and famous. Let's give each other rewards for being rich and famous. At least now like they're doing something that can help other people. At least it's not just for being.
Yeah. Rich and now these are a priority to them. So accessibility is the first time ever part of your bonus. So you that's good for all of us, meaning that we know that Apple products will always be. Well, hopefully it will always be accessible for us to use because of this reason. If they don't, they're going to lose their bonus on it. So, I mean, right now, I don't see any difference from what they had before to what they have now. So, I don't know. What do you think, Randy?
I don't see how they could go wrong by tapping into everything that's accessible. Everything, they have been, since 2009, we have been given, was it 2009 or was it 10? I think it was 2009 since things were really becoming accessible. It's hard to say.
It is hard. I mean, can you guys see the difference between what they had before and what they have now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be interesting. Drop us a note and voicemail on this if you have any thoughts on this as well. M1 users. Yes, these are the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air that just recently came out with the M1s. I got some bad news and something you need to watch. I was surprised to hear this, but sometime during the middle of this month of January, they blocked the option to be able to sideload the various iOS and iPad apps onto your M1. Now, let me tell you what that means exactly. You are now able to sideload any iOS and iPad apps onto your M1 because the M1 chips allow this, and you were able to sideload it. But What they've done here, when they block something, what that means exactly is that if the developers do not choose to put their apps on the Mac store as an app, you wouldn't be able to use it anymore. Now, if you have already installed it, you're fine. Now, the bad thing is that you won't be able to update it if it continues to be blocked. But just as quickly as they put that up, a week later, they stopped it, and then everything is back to normal. You're able to sideload again. And I think some people are thinking this is just a test with the beta of the 11.2 Mac OS. And because on that version, you will able to see a pop-up saying, sorry, this is not allowed because it's not in the Mac store. And so they got it tied down just enough that you can't go around its means and do a different type of sideloading with different various programs that allows you to do it. It's all about the certificate that's built into it and it hacks access the server. So for now, they closed it and then they opened it. This is something to watch. I have no idea which direction they're going to go with it, because once 11.2 comes out, who knows? They may turn this back on. Who knows? But I think that was a pretty big disappointing news, but I think Apple is trying to respect the developers, telling them, hey, I don't want people to put this on the Mac and complain about the apps because it wasn't designed for the Mac and we don't have an app for the Mac yet. And so I get both sides of the arguments, but I know quite a few people that bought in the M1 just for that reason, so they could be able to sideload these IPA files. So if you have the IPA files, you can continue to install it. But again, you want access to any IPA files if you want to install it after it's been blocked. What are you guys' thoughts on this? I was like,
I'm generally the kind of person that likes people being able to do kind of more whatever they want. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit more confusing though, because like you were saying, like if the developer is like, no, I don't want this, then like that makes sense to me. If the developer doesn't want it, then they shouldn't have to. But I don't like having that's just such a broad a wall to put in place. Like, hey, no more of this at all.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing that they had open in the first place. You know, yeah. I think it would have been better if they just had this closed from the get go and then saying, no, you can't do this anymore.
It's always harder to take something away once you've already let people have it.
Yeah,
rather than just not give it out in the first place.
I'll give you an example. Disney Plus is one of those, is that they don't have a Disney Plus app for the Mac store, but everybody knows they have an iOS app. So everybody's been sideloading Disney Plus so they can watch Disney Plus besides on the website. And, you know, now you're saying I can't watch Disney Plus because Disney didn't develop it for the Mac. I get it. I see both ways. If that is just a gray area. But I thought, at least bring that up for you to know just in case.
Wouldn't that be weird if all of a sudden they just go, nope, can't do it again?
Oh.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yet it's interesting that this only appears in 11.2, which is, well, now in RC3, so it's imminent. So that release is going to be coming out. Apparently before you would never know it was blocked. It just didn't work. And now this will tell you, oh, it's blocked. It's being blocked. So it makes me wonder, why are they focusing on a pop-up message in beta 11.2 if they aren't going to do it? And so I'm just confused, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe they just want the ability to be able to. I don't know. I have no idea why they would
do this. Yeah. Continuing with the Mac rumors, check this out, Mike. I know you're more of a Mac guy than Randy and I, and I will get Randy's input on this, because now, Randy, do you ever play with a Mac at all at work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't for, let's say, honestly, it's been probably 5 or 6 years because we never got another Mac. Mm-hmm. Our Mac is really, really, really old. Okay. And I used to use it quite a bit, and now it's just not being used because nothing can be not only sideloaded, but you can't install updates. It's just working. Oh. I think our MacBook is probably, I'd say maybe 10 years old anyway.
Holy smokes, yeah, that's really old. That's really strange, for especially from coming from a campus that where you teach people and train people, and how everything kind of precedent, like the iPhone and all these are up there, but the Macs just seem kind of like you're way in the back. It's just it's just staggering. It is amazing. I've heard that so many times, so you're not the only one. But the MacBook Pros that they're thinking about coming out this year, I mean, we definitely will probably see something in the latter part of the year, so no earlier than the third quarter. But the MacBook Pros, we've been waiting for the 14 and 16 inch models of what that's going to like. And apparently they're revamping it. And I have to laugh about this, guys, because the newer MacBook Pros are more curvier and they're sexy and they're sleek. And the older ones had the flat edges, just like our iPhones. Remember the old iPhone? Now they're going back to, well, they're going back to the flat edges. Rumors are having they're going back to the flat edges, getting rid of the curves. And
I hate that expression.
flat is in, man.
I hate that one too.
Flat is in, curves are out. My favorite was the MagSafe. I love the MagSafe. You guys ever experienced the MagSafe on the older MacBooks?
Yes.
It just snaps in. It's like magic. It's like,
that's my MacBook Pro has that, and I love it.
Oh, I absolutely. Well, you know, I think it was 2015, maybe 20. I can't remember 2017 where they ditched the MagSafe, and they went with the USB-C, right? And everybody complained because it's just got USB-C and they had to buy all this dongles. And my son's one of those. He had to buy all this contraption to be able to read his SD card, various type of USB-As and all these different things that they had on it. Now, not only is it flat, it's just they're going to return the port spec.
Yay! Oh, my gosh.
It's like, what? It's like, oh, you got rid of the Porsche because you want to be revolutionary and ahead of the curve. It's kind of like removing the headphone jack, but to return it. It's like, that's so weird. So you're going to...
Let's not confuse people now, because we're not going that way.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe I'm just shocked that they introduced something new and did it this way and to reverse. Because, you know, Apple is notoriously... known just to keep moving forward. I mean, headphone jacks is an example, along with Face ID, right?
I was just going to say, we had that Face ID conversation last time talking about Touch ID.
So apparently USB-A's and SD slots are to return. And so this way, we wouldn't have to rely on these special needs for dongles and stuff. So I have to see it to believe it, but these really sounds like legit information. My favorite, and again, another one I'm just totally flabbergasted, is that they will do away with the touch bar and bring back the old function keys. It's like, what? Now, you don't have a touch bar on yours, right, Mike?
No.
Now, I know a lot of pushback has been on that touch bar. You either hate it or love it. It seems like I know more people that hate it or don't use it.
I feel the same way. People haven't. I haven't heard a lot of really great things about it. Maybe that's why. Maybe Apple wants to do these new innovative things so they could brag about it at all their conferences and stuff, but that people end up hating it. It's like, okay, fine. People just care.
It's just so weird that they come with these innovations and then they say, okay, we're not going to have it anymore.
This sucks.
I have to see that to believe it, but again, it's just a shocker. I guess if we complain more, we can get our audio jack back. Who knows?
I really want to hear that in one of their keynotes. Like, hey, you know how, remember that headphone jack everybody used to have? And we thought it was a great idea to get rid of that. Turns out everybody else hates that. So guess what? Like, your headphones are coming back. I would love that. I would love to see Apple take that turn in their marketing. To just kind of own the dumb things that they've done.
I think they're totally going to go wireless. That's what I'm.
It doesn't have to be the headphone jack. It could be the touch bar or the Face ID. Any of those things. Anytime they revert a change, I would love them to just come out and own it. Be like, hey, we thought this would be great. Turns out everybody hates it. So
yeah, we're going back to the old way. the butterfly keyboard that they had on the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Was quickly dismissed, and they went back to the standard. And so, I mean, they are listening to respect to the Mac, but not so much to the iPhone. They just keep marching down that path of not returning anything. So
and this was, might be partially because they're selling iPhones like crazy and they're not selling Macs like crazy.
Or they just feel like, well, we need to sell more Macs. Maybe we need to listen to some of these complaints.
Yeah, maybe. Because they're selling phones regardless, but the computer is not so much.
Hey, maybe that's it. It's all about money, man. We all stop buying iPhones? Okay, see, they'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Everybody stop buying iPhones and let's get that headphone back in service.
We'll teach them. We'll teach them. So there's not going to be any Face ID on this new model. And this is a big... I was not surprised, but kind of surprised. There will be no option for Intel chips at all. So when you buy these 14, 16-inch, they're going to be strictly all just nothing but M1s or whatever they call it at that point, M1Z or M1-2s at that point. So, wow. Intel has got to be shaking in their boots. I mean, yes, Mac is kind of a small niche, but, you know, I read last month that AMD is already starting to prototypes and beta testing their own types of ARM chips. We talked about this before. M1s is ARM chips, which is the old x86 key base. And so if AMD is looking that way and Microsoft is looking that way, Intel is not going that way. It's like, oh, you guys are you need to get with the time here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're starting to run out of time. You should probably be making some changes.
Exactly. Now, for those that had iPhones 11s like myself, we were able to get a free year of Apple TV Plus subscription. And, of course, that was to do in, I think the end of last September. And at that time, they said, well, I tell you what, we're going to give you extension till the end of January. And now they have made an announcement they're going to extend that to July. So essentially, we got 9 additional months of being able to use Apple TV Plus for free. And I was like, that is a really nice gift. But let me ask. Now, you two don't use Apple TV Plus, right?
No. It's so strange. I haven't even put it on my...
You have a free subscription?
Yeah, and I did, because when I bought this new phone, I was like, oh, yeah, why not? Like, subscribe to it. Literally never even opened it. Wow. Not a single time.
What about you, Randy?
Nope, same here.
Wow, you guys both had free subscription and didn't use it. You know,
mine's still active, too. Like, I still have months left. Yeah.
I've got like 3 months left, and I haven't even opened it.
Haven't touched it.
Well, you guys extended until July now, and it makes you wonder. It's like, what is Apple doing with this? Why do they keep doing it? And it turns out, guys, now, this is kind of sad and funny at the same time, I suppose. It just depends how you want to look at it. I was like, there's got to be a reason behind why they're doing this. And I found another article to back this up. Of the total numbers of Apple TV Plus subscribers, 62% of those people are those free people like us.
Oof.
Yeah, wow. It's like, no wonder they don't want to just turn the switch off.
So how do you think they're doing?
I can't be any clearer than this. If 62% of those people are using it for free, and based on reports, 30% of those people would not resubscribe back to it. So in other words, if it goes to pay, they won't pay for it. That is a huge slam against Apple, and I think Apple know it. They just know it. I mean, obviously the content isn't there, the library isn't very depth. Is it worth shelving out that money for it? And obviously, majority of people say no, and I think Apple knows it, and that's why they keep extending it.
I wonder if that's why they're doing it. They're extending it because they're trying to get, I guess, like, kind of on par with some of the other services out there. They're trying to get more content, better content shows. I mean, maybe they're hoping for like their own version of Game of Thrones, something that's just going to like sweep the world and everyone's going to fall in love with it. Exactly. But it's not there yet. So they're like, crap, let's just hang on to this 63% of squatters on our service until we get something good.
I love that name, Squatters. You Squatters. Yeah. it essentially is Squatters, and they know it. They can't. I mean, numbers is what it's all about. They, you know, you tout about how many members you have, and they can't just like turn the switch off. And then it's like you just lost half of your subscribers. Yeah. What the hell happened? So Apple's got himself between a rock and a hard place. I honestly think they need to buy something. I mean, yes, they're producing content left and right. It's just not enough of it. They need to do what Netflix does and Disney Plus do. They have movie industry behind them. They actually have real movie contents behind it that are not. That's what appeals to people like Netflix, because they got a good set of library besides their originals. And I think that's what's hurting Apple. That's
just I have seen some of the content before over at other people's places. Not recently, but you know, before everything kind of went the way it is now, and I wasn't crazy about it. Remember, you and I were talking about this before, Tom. We were talking about Amazing Stories and some of these other programs. It's like, no.
I heard C was good. Was that not good?
You know, the bottom line is, you asked me that question, Randy. What do you think that means? that means Apple TV Plus is just not doing well.
No, I'm thinking, do they do Twilight Zone series or is that CBS? I don't remember. Do you know which?
No, Apple does not do that.
Okay, so it was CBS Access, and I thought they were good. But yeah, okay, well, I don't know. I was, they weren't, they hadn't gone over to Apple. So,
well, that's not all, folks. Okay, there's more to the services debacle that I need to talk to you guys about and see what you're kind of weighing on this. But obviously, Apple is excelling on these services. When we get to the fiscal report, that you'll see the services is doing really well in certain areas. Just depends what service. But they know that's the future. They can't produce any more hardware unless it comes some brand new. So they got to push these services and different types of services. This is not only to boost the services numbers, but to also kind of, I think they're trying to bundle up the Apple One to make it more bolster up and what you can get in those tier subscription that we mentioned before. But I don't understand some of this. So let's start with the first one. The first one is Podcast Plus. So there's rumors coming out, and this is pretty hot and heavy, is that the trend is seemed to go in this way. And you say that, Mike, and I'll come back to that when you said that. Spotify is one of those people that have exclusive podcasts. And so it makes
me so mad. I hate this so much.
No, last month we talked about how you were going to go to your deal in Georgia to see the Last Cast on the Left. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Last Podcast on the Left. Yeah.
And I went to go look for it. And guess what? It's only on Spotify.
I moved on Valentine's Day last year. I remember the day, worst Valentine's Day of my life. Because I love that show. Spotify is obnoxious. I personally am not a fan of the Spotify app experience in general.
Everybody is going this direction.
Yes, but more so, like, that was the big one. Like, that podcast did it, and now like, I'm seeing it more and more. And I was like, I freaking knew it. I hate this trend. I don't like this.
I hate it. I really hate it, because now we're going to start to splinter some of these podcasts up.
Yeah.
And you thought music was bad when it was back in the days when you can only hear Taylor Swift exclusively on Apple and not on Spotify. And it's like that came and gone, and they found out that didn't really work. But Apple is starting to explore to do their own contents. And they want to include this Podcast Plus along with your Music Plus subscription, is what I hear. So you get it with your Music Plus subscription if you buy that tier, is what they're trying to do. But again, I am not a fan of this, and I just saw an article not too long that they looked at Spotify the past year and see if the podcast exclusive contents is making a difference in numbers, and it's not. It has not done anything. And so Spotify is probably thinking, well, it's not making any dent into my numbers. I wonder what the point of this. Exactly, right? That's what I'm thinking.
I hope it continues to be a failure so this won't become a thing.
I'm with you.
I agree.
Especially because I hate the podcast app is garbage. If I have to use that for something, I'm no, I don't.
There are people that absolutely love it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not one of them.
I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings if you love that app, but I don't love it.
I agree with you. Some people love the news apps. I hate the news apps, and there are people that absolutely love it. So, you know, it's personal preference, but again, this is one of the surfaces they have been discussing. Now, the other two is kind of so-so. Stock Plus, that's plausible. That makes sense to me because we were just talking about GameStop shares going crazy with Robinhood. Now, if people aren't familiar, Robinhood is a open source platform that allows you to trade stocks. And this is a very huge platform for very tiny people like us that are not among the top 1%er.
Yeah, the whole point is to give everybody access to trading.
Trading,
it helps. You've got little tips and junk like that.
It's easier. You don't have to have a whole lot of money. There isn't a whole lot going in or out, which makes things a lot easier. And that's the whole point of Robinhood. But you see all that disaster with what's going on. But Stock Plus is something Apple is kind of thinking about doing. They want to compete against people like Robinhood. So I can see that happening. And I can see that being something that they want to offer. Now, is that going to tout the Robinhood? Probably not, but I can see some Apple people that are already into the Apple ecosystem when it comes to Apple Pay and Apple credit cards and everything is just intertwined as a bank system on your phone that you want to deal with stocks. So I can see this happening. I really do. Now, I, for myself, don't invest in stocks. So I don't know how big of a news this would be.
Since I got the Max on order, I haven't dealt with stocks either.
I don't do it myself. I pay someone because it's freaking complicated. So if they do this, I hope they make it understandable because in general, in my personal experience, it is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. It's just one of those that I just don't have a whole lot of money to play with. Yes, I think it's a good investment for 401k plans, if you have that available. That's the only time I've dealt with stocks, a 401k plan with the IRAs. That's a whole different thing. But this is like you're dealing it with yourself. You're not putting in the money in somebody else's hand to make the investment for you. So it's kind of a different thing. This last one, and I already said, no way. I will be so mad if they do this. But there has been some discussion, and I don't see this happening, but Mail Plus, meaning that you would get more features and more powerful filters and things like that with the Mail Plus that you don't get with your standard mail. That doesn't make any sense to me because Mail app is an app that I can't see them benefiting of making this a subscription plan to and take advantage of more features. I can't see Apple going down this path. I am not a huge fan of this. I hope this was totally a fluke.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, it seems like the people who really want powerful mail features immediately stop using the mail app.
Exactly. They've gone to other apps that allows you to do that. Now, a lot of those apps are your paid or subscription. And so Apple's thinking, well, maybe we're losing some money on this. No, I think it's the opposite. I think you would do better try to get appeal people back to your mail app to make it more robust. That's just
make it competitive with what's already out there. I don't know. Maybe if I was them, you've got tons of money. Just buy one of the most popular ones already that has a subscription. Game over. And I don't have to do anything. Just change the label now and the picture on the home screen. Done.
What are your thoughts, Randy? I mean,
I wouldn't either. I wonder what are they going to actually do? Like, if you don't pay for it, maybe it will not allow you to delete your messages. I don't know.
They wouldn't go that far. You know, if you want to be able to say, I want to have a filter rule that when I get these messages, they go into this box and whatever.
I think that's just ridiculous. But
I think that's crazy. I mean, I mean, Outlook doesn't offer that as a subscription. I mean, you're able to take advantage of rules and filters, so I don't get that. And I think that would be a major mistake, and I think this is just a fluke. The other two I mentioned, I think, definitely the Podcast Plus I can see happening, and the Stock Plus is there, 50-50. But this one, I don't think so, but it better not. We will be one happy, unhappy campers. But you know what? Now, Randy, you use Outlook exclusively, don't you, on your iPhone?
Or do you use Mail? No, I use Outlook. I use Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do use different various. What about you, Mike? Do you just use Mail app alone?
Yep.
Okay. Some people I know just don't hate the Mail app, and they just use exclusively Outlook or Gmail iOS app.
I don't like it, but I also don't have a email requirement to need something better, if that makes any sense. Like most of my email, I open it, I select them all, I delete them all, because it's like stuff from the school that my kids go to, or like ads that for some reason I keep unsubscribing from, like companies that keep sending me stupid stuff. It's rarely ever something I'm like, ooh, I need this. I have to interact with this, with these people. Like I'm not a heavy mail user in general.
Mm.
I just don't do a whole lot of email. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. So I think they can only do better and improve on what they have now.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. I use Outlook, and I use the native mail app.
I'm just curious. Of those three, which one do you like the best, or do you?
Oh my gosh! Some of the things I like doing better in Outlook, and some of the things I like doing better in Apple Mail.
Mm. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I'm 50-50 on both. I use Outlook and Mail app myself. There's things I like about the Outlook, and there's things I like about the Mail.
Yep, same here.
It's a toss up. Okay, well, that's good to know. The other set of rumors, guys. We've been talking this for a couple of years, but now it seems like all of a sudden it's starting to kick up some traction for, say, upon their traction, because I'm talking about an Apple Car. So here's what happened. Hyundai is all of a sudden just made a press release. Hey, we're in talk with Apple and discussing perhaps making an Apple Car. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is news. This is like big, massive news. Only two days later to have Hyundai retract that and says, we're in talk with an provider and maybe offering them a new car. And I was like, oh, it must have been an NDA problem, because apparently Apple wants confidential. And I think Hyundai kind of missed that memo. And I think that's why they had the retraction. But the cat's already out of the bag, per se. And I was really interested in this news, because this is the first time in reality that we've heard some sort of a confirmation from somebody outside of Apple, and Hyundai kind of spilt the beans on this, that Apple was pursuing different types of auto industry companies to maybe provide Apple Car for them. Now, I just read an article today that's kind of a late-breaking news on this one, is that Hyundai is now thinking they're not going to deal with this, because what the problem is that Apple wants complete power of the car. And so essentially, they don't want Apple to tell them how to make cars, because Apple's going to say, I want you to make the car this way. And not only that, to make it more things a little more interesting, is that Hyundai makes their own parts and everything, transmission, everything. Apple want to use third-party suppliers for the frames, transmission. So they want to bring – essentially, they just want Hyundai just to put it together for them. Apple just needs a place to put a car together. And Hyundai pretty much said, well, apparently it is not going well in the Hyundai executives. They hate the idea, but there are talks now that their sister, Kia – might be the best option to do that. And that makes more sense, because the Apple was thinking about making the Kia auto plant in Georgia is the one that's put this together. But before you get too excited, we're at least 5 years out, and none of this has been like ink that they are. They're just seeking for people. But I don't know about you guys, but knowing how much Apple charges for things and how premium – this is going to be way out of my league already.
If I had to make a guess, they're wanting to make something to compete with Teslas, which are
there you go.
Generally cheap. Like they're probably going to go that route, something like that.
And, oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, I don't.
It's definitely going to be the Tesla competitor. This
yeah. That's the only kind of car I could imagine Apple wanting to make, is something more in that line.
Now that the cat's out of the bag, you know the other industry is like, oh my gosh, they're thinking about doing this. We need to start moving. And by the time Apple even thinks about getting in, I can't imagine the competition for something like this. They were able to do with the phone because they were the first to come out with it. They were the first to come out with a lot of things, and they were successful doing that. To try to catch up with something, that's Apple's been kind of a slow in that. So let me give you an example. TV Plus. They've been catching up, not doing so hot, right?
Yep.
Mac, well, the PCs were kind of outperforming, and they just end up having to catch up with them all this time. They've just never been able to compete with them on an equal level. I just can't see how the car, I think it's going to be niche. Just like the AirPods Max, it's just going to go to the niche market.
Probably. And I wonder if it in general makes the automobile industry a bit nervous. Like, oh, I hope all these tech people out in California don't start making cars now.
I never thought of that. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of like the tech companies are taking over the auto industry. So what we used to know is Ford and Chevrolet and Pontiac are going to the wayside. And it's like these tech companies are the ones that are starting to come out.
Especially when they roll in with all their money and they're like, hey, we need you to give us complete control. Oh, by the way, we want to do it this way and this way and this way because we have all the money. And we just need you to put all the pieces together. And
but, you know, Randy
good
has
on them for saying
card.
No.
What about a credit card?
Well, he has an Apple credit card. And if you buy one of these cards for 0% interest, there you go. He put in the local payments.
That would never fit, I'm afraid.
Oh, think of that, Randy. Never say never. With you, never say never.
That's true. But I'm saying that my rate of exchange put on that card wouldn't even come close to an Apple car.
Maybe we'll have a special deal for cars.
Yeah, we have a special deal for losers like you.
No, if you have a card and the new headphones that you've got and TV Plus and Stocks Plus, if you have all their Plus things, then maybe you'll get like a special discount on
there
your
you
car.
Go.
Our podcast just went right down the tubes.
And if you turn in your house, you can live in
this
Apple car
like
instead.
It. Yeah, that's more like it.
There you go. It's kind of a change kind of a thing.
You just got to give them the D tier land. See? Not the house, just the land that it's just on.
Never say never, Randy.
That's true.
All your dogs would love inside that car.
Take my son, please. Just let me have the car.
Oh, man. Well, fasten your seatbelts because we thought last year's products was staggering when it comes in, like so many things coming. It's just Apple just keeps churning out new rumors and stuff that's supposed to come out this year.
Oh, yeah.
So last month we discussed about the AirPods 3.0, and that was to not the Pros, but the 2.0 to replace that, the new various iPads. Well, we are now starting to hear again, and AirTags keeps coming back into the loop. Now, there are third parties accessories that are starting to leak out information about some accessories they're going to make for the AirTags. And, of course, if you guys heard about the Samsung came out with their own so-called AirTags. This is like the first time I think Samsung has taken an actual rumor. You know, Samsung is known to, like, when Apple releases something, and they come out with something alternative to Apple. It's always having a comparative one, right? So they were actually took a rumor from Apple and actually made their own AirTag. So it's already out. And so I was like, wow, I think it's inevitable that it's definitely going to come out. And I've heard that it's going to be a circle device. You guys use Tiles or anything like that? Do you ever used it?
I did once. It's been a long time, but for some reason, when I connected it, my headphones would disconnect. And I had so many issues between my headphones and that stupid Tile. I ended up not using it after that.
Really?
Yes. It was so incredibly frustrating.
Huh. Am I interfering with it or what?
Yes. Like, yeah. Like if I wanted to actually use the headphones, I'd have to like shut the Tile off completely, which makes it useless.
Wow.
Like disconnect it from my phone. Yeah, it was bad. I tried for weeks trying to figure out what I was doing wrong, and it was I don't have any clue what actually happened. I've never bought another one since because I had such a horrible experience.
Randy, have you ever used Tiles?
No, I have not. But boy, the way I'm forgetting things these days, I really need something to.
It was great when it did work. Like, oh, I sure. put one on my water bottle. Like, I'd set that down somewhere, walk away, and forget. Like, ah, crap. Like, there it is.
Hey, yeah. It was like, where'd I put the water bottle? That would be kind of cool. I mean, I had Tiles for my car keys, and I was thinking, that was kind of dumb. I don't even drive. I mean, whenever I use a car, I only bring the car keys just in case we lock ourselves out, or it has my house key on it, my mail key, and stuff like that. You know, the batteries run out of it, and I had to go buy for a new battery. I just decided, no, I never used it. I always knew where my keys were. Now, my son, you know, it makes sense for like my son. He constantly misplacing his car keys. So I can see why this is helpful for some people. But I was just curious about what you guys' experience have been with Tiles. So would you guys be interested in AirTags at all?
I could find uses for it, yes.
I think I could.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that's interesting. Okay.
I have a problem with my phone, trying to find my phone. A lot. I set it down and I'll go do something else and I just can't find my phone. So I will ping it with my watch now, which is
yes. Know, really cool. The watch is amazing when you're trying to find your phone. I was just about to say the problem with I had with Tiles, I had to open up my iPhone, find the app, send the signal. I wish there was like a simpler process, and I'm sure there's a
there Siri should be shortcut. Some kind of yeah, a Siri shortcut. Just be like, hey, where's my whatever.
And I'm sure there is. It's just that, you know, since I haven't used Tiles for so long that I'm sure there is one. But nonetheless, AirTags is still continues to be there. Now, the other rumors is that, and this came from big resources, some big reliable people, that they think there could be a new SC2021. I was like, say what? I think before we all jump to conclusion, like I did, thinking that it would replace the SC2020. I think what they're talking about is that they're thinking that the SC2021 will be the plus or the max size of the SC. So like we have with the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max, with like the iPhone 12 Mini and the iPhone 12, you just got a bigger size screen. So that's what's, I think realistically that could happen. I can see a bigger format of the SC. So it's still the same SC. It's just a bigger brother. So you have the max size. I think that would go like gangbuster. As popular as the SC 2020 was, I think people would love to have the max just because of the budget friendly price. If it's definitely cheaper than say the iPhone 12, hands down, I can't see why they could go wrong with this at all.
I hear the Mini is really suffering badly.
Yes. Isn't that something? The iPhone 12 Mini is doing so badly. I even heard that they told the manufacturer to stop producing them and focus all your production on the iPhone 12 Pro, where they're still having high demands and still having a hard time keeping up with that demand. But the iPhone 12 Mini is just doing horribly. But I also heard that a lot of the big guys are saying they can't see why they would discontinue that for this year. They probably give it one more year. So the Mini, I don't know, but you know, I think it's because it's weird. I thought people would like the smaller factor. As for us, for that, we don't need the display. That makes sense. But for those with low vision, obviously they want the bigger screen, and it's apparent that other people that are sighted want the bigger size. Or,
well, as I said before, for us, even at least for me, for sure, I definitely think the speaker would be suffering, but you know, maybe not.
I think it's a battery. I think a lot of people
Yeah, of course.
I think people are just scared about that, and we talked about that many times. Now, there's other discussion too. Is that Apple's? It was kind of weird. They had a radio interview with one of the guys from Apple saying there will definitely not be an iPhone 13 naming. And I was surprised that they would even say that. Now, that isn't official. It's just an Apple employee saying that. And it was.
So what are they going to call it?
Rumor has it it's a 12S. We're just going to call it a 12S for this year. What they're going to name it from that point on. Alex Hall made a good point of this when he was thought my tweet on this. He would like to see them start calling it by the year. So it would be the iPhone 2022, iPhone 2023.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can also see the 13 people are afraid of the number 13. They're afraid of, you know, all this stuff. So I can see.
Are you guys...
What do they call that? Triskaidekaphobia or something like that?
Something like that. I can't remember what it is.
There are people fear that. And it's, but they went ahead and did iOS 13, so it's kind of weird.
I mean, people, they'll be okay.
So you never know. They may just continue to do iPhone 13, but it sounds definitively like he's starting to lean towards it's going to be called the 12S for now. So they can escape that 13 until they have more time to consider what if they want to. Please, for the dear God, love of God, do not name it like they did with the XR, XS.
Oh, man.
That was a disaster, I think. Trying to explain that to my mom or to anybody, I just stop calling it X. I just say it's a 10.
I would like it if they named it after the year personally. I mean, like, that's how vehicles are done. Like, oh, it's a 2020.
Yeah. Exactly. Taurus, the vehicles are that way. I'm a big fan of that. And, you know, Microsoft uses that. If they call it Office 2019, Office 2016. So I'm a huge fan of that. Now, obviously, Microsoft kind of reversed that, went back to Microsoft 10 when it comes to OS instead of Microsoft 2000. And then it went to Vista and then 7. So I don't know where they're going to go, but that is where it's leading. Now, of course, the other news about the new 12S is LiDAR will be available to all the models, which is great. And the continuous rumble is there. It still says they are going to bring in the Touch ID back into the screen of the iPhone 12S. And as you guys mentioned before, that they're now discussing that there will be a 1 terabyte option for the phone. My gosh.
Man, that's... insane, isn't it?
128 is plenty for me. I have maybe a third of that used, but the other two thirds just been empty. Now my wife and my son, it's full. It's all because of photos and so and videos. So I get that those photos and videos, and they keep upping the megapixels and the size of these things. Obviously, we've got to
get those raw photos now.
Yeah, and that probably is probably the biggest reason, Mike, is that raw photo. They probably want to give those serious professionals that wanted those raw to have some reasonable amount of space they can use.
Right.
I think 1 terabyte is still insane. The price has got to be insane too. I can't.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I can't imagine, and this might sound harsh, I can't imagine a serious professional photographer using a phone. Because they have different lenses for different things. Like there's a whole, like that's kind of why they use all those big fancy cameras, is because there's different circumstances, different scenarios that you need different stuff and not just an iPhone.
I agree with you, but I don't ever see people using cameras. Now that doesn't mean that maybe that's, you know, it's everybody that I see out there is using their
phones.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about just everyday people, but business people too. I just don't see anybody using cameras. I suppose like maybe police or fire or funeral directors or something. We probably don't use phone. You get my meaning though, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. That was grabbing the name out of the bag. I like that one. I think cameras has been dying. We all know that. It's just how I think that some people still want to attach that camera. It does offer some benefits.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, those are some of the things to expect. We also are hearing the iOS 15 that are coming out this year is going to drop our friends with the iPhone 6 and the SC folks. So the 6S, and the SC, older version of the SC will not be able to take advantage of the iOS 15. Moving on, we had the new 14.4 iOS that was dropped. Yep. There's some warning notes I want to make, and we got a hold of this on the day of the release. It's kind of, wow, this is kind of a big deal. I guess if you are a display user of the Mantis and the Chameleon displays, do not, for the life of you, do not update to 14.4. There are some wacky connectivity going on with that. And APH has put a note out to say they're working on a fix, and hopefully that will be rectified soon. I mean, my gosh, it's been 4 days since the drop, and I still haven't heard anything about it. So
now, I installed mine this morning. And okay. You want to hear a weird thing that has happened to my phone? I don't know if it's corresponds with the update or not. All right. So I woke up this morning and I entered my passcode in because it never sees my face in the morning. It just it won't open. It just won't open with my face in the morning. So I have to enter in a passcode. And what? If I'm in bed, if I point my face at the phone, it does not open for me for some reason. It just doesn't do it. And I'm thinking maybe I have to retake do the face print again, I think.
Yeah, try that. You know, I definitely tried to redo a face ID and
because I think I was too close when I did my face. I think, but you know, to hold my arm way out there and to have it open up, it just I don't know. My face ID and me just do not get along for some reason. I don't know why.
You're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are in the same boat as you are.
Yeah, so I enter in that code. But ever since I entered that code on the latest update, my clicks are gone. You know, the soft clicks when you enter in, they're gone.
Gosh, you know, there has been some funky reports like that. You know, during the beta, I didn't have any problems. It was actually pretty good. Now, when I got this new GM, then I started seeing some issues, some weird things that other people aren't reporting. And so it wouldn't surprise me you got some weird things going on. But
you're probably thinking, we'll just reboot your phone and it'll go away. Well, I did that.
And it still has some issues. Me too. Yep. It's just odd.
Are you getting the same thing that I'm getting?
I'm not getting any of those that you mentioned. I'm getting some headphones issues with it, which is weird. And I've had some instances where app would just crash. Like, I didn't have any crashes. Just like, you open it, it crashes. It's like, I can't open up the app. And it's like, this is so weird. It was working in the beta, and I restarted. I've done everything other than restoring it. I don't know.
I don't want to do that. Oh, man. But
this whole thing about the display is just continuous black eye for those that are using BSIs or Braille's display. This is just a continuous problem with Apple. And don't get me wrong, I love Apple, but I'm just getting annoyed now. Usually I'm pretty patient. I understand maybe a couple versions. But now it's getting to the point where I'm just getting totally frustrated with Apple. They keep breaking things with Braille. And we did a research here at AppleVis. We took the look at the AppleVis bug tracker. If you're not familiar with that, it's a bug tracker that we keep track of all the bugs that we find on our devices. And 80% of all the bugs that we've ever reported for Braille or BSI has been either severe, serious, or moderate. It's never been like minor. It just shows me that when this happens, it can be more than likely be serious and enough that it is a setback. Nobody can do anything and not to update. And it takes usually longer to get fixed. So some of the things aren't being fixed until two major version later. For example, we had some issues in 14.0, which wasn't fixed for some Braille users until 14.2. We're talking months and months, and now you have this. It just shows me that Apple have been relying on Braille users too heavily in beta testing. They assuming that they're there and they're reporting it. I think this is a wake-up call for them that maybe they need to start contracting out to Braille institutes to have people that test these things go out and consult people with this instead of just doing all in-house. Obviously, I get it. There's a million different Braille display. They can't do them all. I understand that, but you got to do something about it. This is starting to become an issue. And of course, 14.4 broke a BSI feature. So if you're using a BSI and you do a two-finger scrub to do a delete of a word, you're not going to hear the word being described being deleted. So it's just continuous. There was we didn't find anything else broken other than some quirks like Randy and I've come across. And most of all is that, again, there's another major version with no accessibility fixes. There's a whole bug tracker full of stuff that's still bugs. And this is two major versions they've gone by without any updates to accessibility bugs. Yes, most of those are minor and not really big. Still, what are you doing? What are they doing? I don't know. Maybe I'm just ranting, but I'll get off my soapbox so you guys
can have with their new policy, though, with their bonuses potentially on the line, maybe something will change.
Yeah, that's a good idea, but maybe. I don't know if they'll ever try it.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but I don't know. Could happen.
Yeah. So if Apple, if you're listening, this is kind of a warning shot across the bow. A lot of people are getting upset about this, and rightfully so. We've been patient. So am I being too harsh, guys?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. So you guys feel the same?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Especially when it comes to Braille, because like I suck at reading Braille, but I try.
Yeah.
And it's never been like a pleasant experience ever when I have it connected to my phone.
And maybe you're not like reading the same kind of magazines I am.
Probably not. No, it's just always been a hassle. It's always just been bad. And every single time the updates come out and I look at those bug reports that you were talking about, always like big troublesome thing. Consistently, for as long as I've been trying to read Braille, it's always been big problems.
It's been a struggle for me.
Yeah, it's not how it should be.
I think people like yourself and myself that have vision for most of our life, our adulthood, that never had to deal with that, find it to be more struggle. Now, I know I'm saying there are probably some cases out there that they're in the same situation. They have no problem doing it. But from my view, I've seen a lot of people struggle learning Braille.
This has been talked about on other casts for a long time, and
oh, okay.
And I, you know, they're with you. You know, they agree there is a need for Braille literacy for sure.
Definitely.
And some people just they struggle with it.
I should try. I really do want to. I think is for me that it keeps losing my hearing. I'm going to have to be forced to do it. I'm going to have to read Braille at some point, possibly. I hope not, but you know. It's better safe than sorry.
I enjoy it. I actually really do like it. I'm just slow. That's my biggest thing.
I'm just
right
slow
now.
Too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just slow.
And the last bit of news here is the fiscal report. I'm just going to just kind of briefly go through this. I'm not going to go in too much into numbers. I'm just going to go into percentage. I think that makes a little more sense. As we assumed and predicted, this was the biggest blockbuster revenue in a quarter ever for Apple in terms of everything. I mean, every product, every service saw a double digit climb, which is unbelievable. This is like, it can't anything happen that is just mind boggling, but this is the first time they've ever exceeded $100 billion mark. Now their last quarter was $111 billion. So let's break that down. iPhones. The sales went up 17% from last year, which was, we talked about the iPhone 12 is just going like hotcakes. And obviously it is doing really well across the world. So that's why we saw a 17% increase, in the iPhone. And that is the most sold iPhones ever for Apple in a quarter. So that tells you the iPhone 12 is their best selling handset ever. For the Mac, this was amazing. 21% jump. remember last year I was saying the number of the Mac kept going down, down.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom, 21%. And I can't tell you if it's because of COVID, people had to buy more computers. As you know, there's a shortage of laptops and computers for having to do more work at home. If that was part of it, or if the M1 was part of it, nobody really knows. But regardless, this is a great sign that Apple is doing the right thing, going the right direction with the M1, which is 21% increase. iPad, just when I thought iPads couldn't get any better and people were starting to drop that, it went up 41%, guys. 41%. Wow. Almost double. That is phenomenal. That is definitely got to be related to COVID.
That was my first thought, too. People were hanging out watching TV shows and Zoom calls and stuff, and they just want to do
right. I can't see people just buying an iPad because I think that has something to do with the remote learning at home.
Yeah, and it's not because anything like new and updated happened with an iPad that makes them really fantastic. It's just people actually have a use for them now.
41%. And then lastly, the wearable saw an increase of 29%. So, I mean, yes, AirPod Pros is just going bonkers. Watch is going bonkers. I think all their wearables that was only to grow. I think that has room to grow. Now, services, they saw a 17% increase. So obviously the services is going up as well. And everybody foresaw that going up as well. We were just shocked to see how good the Mac and the iPads were the most. And the question now that I had to say, and I said earlier, is this going to last? For me, I can't see this last. I can see this last for another more quarter because they have such a game buster going on with the, but I could be wrong. Maybe when the new AirPod Pros come out and the AirPod 3.0 and AirTags, maybe that will keep going up. I don't know. A lot of people saying it'll still go up, but it's just so hard to believe and understand. You can't tell me the next year iPhone 12S is going to do better than 12s. I just don't know.
But it will. I'm sticking my neck out. But
never say never.
If they implement fingerprint sensors and I think we got a game changer going back, because I know one thing. I love my phone. Don't get me wrong, but if I can get rid of that stupid Face ID.
I've never had an issue with mine.
I will change. Well, take my face and your face. It probably is a big difference there.
Maybe I was wondering, like, do you like sit up from your bed and your like side of your face is still kind of flat from laying on your pillow?
I don't know. My face is flat anyway. I don't have any idea, but I don't know. I fight with that thing all the time, and I'm not sure.
Good point. This may be the signal that people that are on those 8 and older devices say, nah, I'm not ready for 12, but that 12S.
Don't get me wrong. I would never keep, I wouldn't have gone back to the 8. As a matter of fact, when I have an 8 here, not my original 8, but somebody else's 8. Trying to figure out where's that, I was swiping up trying to get my, trying to close my phone unlocked. And I'm going, what am I doing wrong? Oh, the home button. Oh yeah,
forgot about that button.
I love that that feature. I really do. I'm not sorry.
You're not alone. I mean, we had this discussion last month where 80% of the people wanted the Touch ID back, and this is the general public. This is not the blind committee. When you have that staggering percentage of people that want it back, you may be right. That may be the phone that everybody just flocks to. A lot of people flock for the SC for that reason, because they wanted the Touch ID. So,
well, yeah, but I wouldn't even publicly say, oh, I'm not going to the Face ID because I won't get rid of that home button. I just wouldn't go there. Mm. I just wouldn't do it.
I'm going to love using both.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
It's dual security. I get to my face and my Touch ID now.
Well, nobody can open it with my face, not even me.
Hey, you got the ultimate security over there.
I do.
Yeah.
All the rumors that are coming out with the new Apple Watch, is the series 7
yes.
and stuff. I mean, all kinds of rumors out there going on right now.
Now, that is big news, Randy. When I saw that, the rumors are for the seventh series for the Apple Watch is supposedly have blood glucose.
Yes.
Holy. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah.
This, folks, may not be imperative to a lot of people. It may have no use for it, but this is a major, and I'm talking, this is probably the biggest game changer Apple Watch has ever done in their entire life is that blood glucose level. No more pricking, no more testing. It's just, this is mind-boggling.
I hate to say this, and I know I'm sticking my neck out here again, but do away with pricks.
Yes.
I think that's
seriously.
Yeah. Down with the pricks.
Hey, that's a great name for a cast.
And there's a title.
Oh, there you go.
But seriously, I mean, if we could do that, because I know a lot of people have a lot of issues with that type of system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have diabetes, but I didn't think that I would use the oxygen sensor level, but I do, and I've got a great set of lungs. I top out at 99% most of the time, and I asked a nurse one time why am I up so far in that level. And that's because I have a good set of lungs, apparently.
Just got a good set of lungs, and it's a security blanket. It's nice to know.
Yeah,
that you're doing well on these markets, and that's the beautiful part of the watch is that for a health aspect, you can check your pulse, you can check your see if you have AFibs going on, if there's some heart irregularly.
Yep.
Irregularly.
What irregularity. There you go.
There goes Mrs. Mouse again. So Apple Watch is great when that is respected.
And supposedly, they may even think about bringing fingerprint ID to the watch.
That would be cool.
And preferably, they'd figure on the crown.
That would be beautiful. I have not heard this yet, but that is awesome to know that possibility is there. I think they should. That would be perfect hands in hands with the Touch ID coming back to the phones.
And I keep thinking to myself, no, there's nothing more I want to buy from Apple. There just isn't anything out there.
You just got to pay off that credit card a little faster.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
And then this month's news for AppleViz, there's just a couple of notes I want to make. Now, a poster, a user out there made a fantastic tip. I thought, this is so cool. I did not know you could do this. Now, people detection is for those that have LiDAR on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind of a tricky to turn on the people detection. It's not simple. But I didn't realize, and he made a tip out there, is a four-finger triple tap that will turn on people detection. So that is the new gesture that was not there before. It is now. So a four-finger triple tap now turns on people detection. And we have a new app called Super LiDAR, the people behind Super Sense. Now, I did a podcast on comparison and objective on my thoughts of what the existing LiDAR means to us and what I think is going with it. And I did a comparison between Super LiDAR and Microsoft CNA. So be sure to catch that podcast out. Super LiDAR takes advantage of your LiDAR on devices that support this. It allows you to do various object recognition and tell you distances between various things around the house. Kind of a cool thing. Obviously, it definitely has potential. Has lots of room to grow in, and it's definitely in its infancy when it comes to actual use realistically using something like this. But check out the podcast. My last one is called ReadKit, ReadKit. Now, if you are a RSS reader aggregator fan like I am with Newsify or NetNewsWire or Lyre, there is somebody came out with a ReadKit. It also has potential for a great RSS reader. And as a bonus for our third year, I have promo codes I like to give away to you fine listeners. So if you are listening to this and you've actually listened to this very long podcast and got to this point and would like one of the promo codes or a chance to win one, send an email to unleashed@applevis.com. Say, I would like one of these for a drawing, and I will randomly select people and hand those promo codes out to you. I want to give these out to you guys, so get on it, get fast. Just because you heard this 2 or 3 days later doesn't mean all the codes are gone. Keep trying. You know, it's kind of like those radio stations that you be the fourth caller. Keep trying. You never know. So anyway, so that is pretty much summary of the whole Applevis Unleashed for the third anniversary of the Unleashed. Thank you guys. For
is this
YouTube.
Our third today?
It is our third anniversary of this month.
Wow.
You believe that? We're going on to our third year.
I haven't been anywhere for 3 years. I'm surprised.
So what is that?
Far.
So we've been together for 2 years, but we're now going on our third year. There we go.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I don't know, guys. I really love having both of you on here. I know our fans love hearing you and of our comical jokes. And
we really appreciate you guys hanging with us.
Yeah. Thank you,
Mike.
It's
been so long. All these listeners are for 3 years now just slowly watching all of us decline, and we'll just slowly get older, and like we're all going to start learning Braille because we can't hear and we fall down all the time, like you were saying earlier.
And people, and people with flat faces. And
Randy couldn't be with us because he broke his hips, and Thomas is now talking to a banana instead of his.
The next 3 years are going to get interesting, people.
Instead of a microphone.
Yeah, so let's just all decline and.
And Michael still is this peppy little young himself, you know.
I try.
Well, thank
it's
you, guys.
It's almost snow shoveling.
That's right. You are shoveling a lot of snow, aren't you?
Yeah, he always has shoveled it, yes.
Yeah, he's always shoveled everything, doesn't he? Not just snow, either.
It's true.
As I mentioned before, feel free to send suggestions, feedback, thoughts, and advice, and tips, and thoughts to unleashed@applevis.com, and also our brand new Applevis Unleashed voicemail, which is 816-774-1668. Until next month, see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Feel free to contact the Applevis Unleashed team with feedbacks, tips, or questions at unleashed@applevis.com or call 1-816-774-1668. This Applevis podcast has been brought to you by the community of applevis.com. For the latest in sources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit www.applevis.com.